Today's daf is Menachos Daf Lamed. We left off and Daf Chav Tesam and Beis. We had just gotten to the medium-sized lines in Daf Chav Tesam and Beis. Let's backtrack actually a little bit and go with the flow of the sugya about six lines before they get wide. Amar Rav Ashi, Chazinu L'Safrei Davkani D'Bei Rav D'Chatru L'Gagei D'Ches. So Rav Ashi says, I saw the expert sofrim of the Bei Rav that they would be choter the gag of the ches, the top of the letter ches. So what does it mean to be choter the gag of the ches? So like we said yesterday, Rashi says that they made it a straight line in the top of the ches. Tosos Rabbeinu Tam says that Be'emtza gagu shel ches gavoa ma'at kamo chatarta degamla de'be'emtza kazeh. They made like a bridge which goes up. As you see, Tosos draws the picture where they make a bridge between the two sides of the ches. So v'talulei l'kari dehei, and they would hang the leg of the hay. That's what he saw the special sofrim used to do. Chatru l'gagei d'ches kolomer chayu bruma shalolam. The reason they would be choter the gag of the ches is to symbolize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives bruma shalolam. A symbol of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Beruma Shalolam. V'tolei l'kari dehei, and they would hang the leg of the hay, meaning they wouldn't connect the leg of the hay to the top, which would turn it into a ches. K'dibay minei Rav Yehudim siya min Rav Yami. Like Rav Yehudim siya asked from Rav Yami, Maidich siv bitchu b'Hashem adayad ki b'ko Hashem tzur olamim. That should be a symbol of the fact that we have to hang our bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the hay doesn't have the leg connected. The leg of the hay cannot connect to the top of the hay. So there's a machlokas tashbetz and rivash over here. Tashbetz is medayik from here that if the left leg of the hay is not tola, rather it's touching the top of the hay, it's not pasul. Because Ravashi said that he saw the sifrei hadafkanim de beirav who used to have these two minhagim, that there would be choter the gag of the ches and there would be tola the leg of the hay. Sounds like it's only because these were very expert and great sofrim that they were medaktik to do this, that they were medaktik to write the and the hay in this way. But if you weren't so medaktik, it would still be kosher if you wrote it another way. That's what the Tashbetz wants to suggest. Says the Rivash that is totally incorrect. That certainly if the left leg of the hay touches the gag of the hay, the os is absolutely puzzled. What Rav Ashi is being mechadish tells us is that the os ches that he saw in the Sifrei Adafkanim that they would make the chutra, that was the chiddush. That was the point that if you don't do that, it's still going to be a kosher letter. But certainly if you make the hay with the leg connected to the gag, then certainly it's going to be possible. So that's what he's trying to tell us, that the tzura is different than the tzura hay. And if the leg touches the gag, because the hay doesn't have, meaning one might have thought that once they're distinguishing the ches anyway by making a chutra in the gag of the ches, that it's then not a big deal if the leg of the hay touches the top of the hay, because it's anyway distinguishable from a ches. That's the point. That's why he mentions the hay. You would think that once they're making the ches different anyhow, so if the leg of the hay touches the top of the hay, it doesn't really turn it into a ches. So that's the chiddush. That no, afal pikein, we're absolutely makbid that the leg of the hay doesn't touch the top of the hay. The Rivash also writes that Ravashi maybe is trying to tell us that he saw the Sifrei Davkadim that they were makbid to be marchik the regal hasmolus of the hay a little bit more than just a minimal amount. And if you do it just a little bit, it's kosher. But to have it touch, that's absolutely incorrect. So that's what the Rivash says very strongly, that it's absolutely possible if the leg of the hay touches the top of the hay, that's what turns it into a ches. Right? We all know the chiluk between chametz and matzah, the chiluk between chametz and matzah is so minimal, it's just that little bit, it's that little connector between the leg of the hay, the osios of chametz and the osios of matzah, just a little bit of ink, the leg of the hay that touches the top of the hay. Amalei, ana hachi kakashali. So he says, now this was my kasha. Maishna d'chsiv bika v'lo k'siv ka. Why does it say bidchu b'Hashem adayad ki bika Hashem Tzur Olamim, just say Ka Hashem Tzur Olamim. So Kedarsh Rabbi Rabbi Elai, Elu Shnei Olamos Shabara Kodesh Baruch Hu, Echad Behei VeEchad BeYod. It's referring to the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu created two worlds. One he created using the word Hey, one the letter Hey, one he created using the letter Yud. Veini Yodea Imal Ma'ba BeYod V'Al Ma'zeh Behei Imal Ma'zeh BeYod V'Al Ma'ba Behei. The only thing is we don't know which is which. We don't know if he created Al Ma'ba with a Yud and Al Ma'zeh with a Hey or vice versa. So Kshu Omer Eila told us the Shemayim va'aretz bihi baram, so al tikri bihi baram ella, split it into two words Behei Baram, that the Shemayim and the Aretz were created with the letter Hey. Havi Omer Olma Zeh Behei Olma Ba B'Yud. So you see from there that Olma Zeh was created with the Hey, Olma Ba is created with the Yud. Umnei Maniv Olma Zeh Behei. Why is this world created with the Hey? What's the meaning of that? That Olma Zeh was created with the Hey. Mebnei Shadomel Achzadra, because it's like an Achzadra, it's like a porch. Shekal Harotza Latzei Yetzei. Anyone who wants to leave can leave. Anyone who wants to go off in Olma Zeh and do bad things and go to Tarbus Ra'a, he has the option to do so. B'chir Chavshus, you can do whatever you want. Umay time Talia Kare, why does the leg of the hay hang? So the hay is like, it's closed in on three sides pretty much, so you could fall out the bottom if you want, but the leg is hanging so you can sneak back in on the other side. You can sneak back in between the leg and the top of the hay. That's the symbol of this world. And in this world, you could go to Tarbus Ra'a, but you could always go sneak back in, you could always do tshuva and go right back in. So it says, well, generally speaking, if you want to leave a room and come back into the room, you could use the same door. You don't have to sneak around the other side. So v'la'ayil b'hach, why don't you just go in the same way? So Lomasayamilsa. No, that's not gonna work. Reshlakish, Lom Reshlakish, my duchsiv, im latesumuya litzula navmit in chain, bolatar misayin also, bolatame poskano. That if a person wants to do good, if wants to become tahar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him. If a person wants to become tame, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens the door for him. So when a person wants to do tshuva, it's not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens the door for him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually gives a little shove. He's a misayin also, he gives a little push. But when you bolatame, Kadosh Baruch will never push you to be Balatame. But he'll open the door and he'll tell you, you want to leave? It's a day, go and leave. But when it comes to coming back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give a little nudge. He'll be Mesayeya. That's the chilik in the Lashon between Mesayeyin and Poskin. Umay time Islay Taga. Why is there a tag on the hay? So where's the tag on the hay? So Machlokas over here. If you look at Tosus, he quotes Rashi and himself. Bekuntras, Pirish Bekuntras, Sof Hay Kazeh. So the first picture he has is that the tag is at the top on the left side of the hay. Rabbi Natan Farish Bitchila Kazeh. That no, there's a little tag on the right side of the hay. So Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu im chozer bo ani kosher lo kesher. Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, if a person does tshuva, which is what the hay is supposed to symbolize, how Olam Hazeh is made for tshuva, if a person does tshuva, I'll tie a special knot for him, I'll tie him back in. So that's the idea of the tag. So that explains very well Olam Hazeh is with a hay, because Olam Hazeh is supposed to reflect the idea that you can go fall off the map if you want, and you can come and do tshuva if you want. Why is Olam Haba with a Yud? Because Yud is very small, and there aren't that many people. There aren't that many tzaddikim, right? That's the old joke that in heaven they just have cereal and milk, whereas because it doesn't pay to cook for two. Right, that's the but there's not so many. There aren't that many great tzaddikim. And why is it kafah frosho? Why is it that that the top of the yud is bent? The tzaddikim are bent. They always bend their heads because their actions are not comparable one to another. What does that mean? Says Rashi, meaning since each tzaddik has their own way of doing things and their own madrega that they reach, so a lot of the other tzaddikim are embarrassed in front of the other tzaddikim because they think, I don't measure up. This guy did that kind of chesed, he did that kind of Torah learning, that since each one has their own unique path, not every tzaddik is supposed to be the spitting image of the other one. Everyone has their own path and their own way. So since they each had their own middos and their own maisim tovim that they did, the other ones always feel bad. I didn't do that, I never thought of that. That's the need for ga'onus, not only in Torah learning, but in maisim tovim as well. That sometimes a certain tzaddik will come up with a chap that no one else came up with. So you have to use your brain also to come up with that chap to be able to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim in a unique way, and that's why the tzaddikim are embarrassed from each other. They always feel inadequate compared to their chaverim. Amar Rav Yosef, Hani Tarti Mili, Amar Rav Besvarim V'Tanya Tiyufte. There were two things that Rav said that it relates to Safros, and there's a tiyufta on both of the things. Now Tosus points out, b'chad alaf tiyufta gemurihi ala debedochak mitritza. One of them is not really a tiyufta, but it's just difficult to answer. We only answer it bedochak. So what are the two statements? What are the two statements that Rav said? So chad ha'dam Rav sefer Torah sheyesh bo shnei ta'uyos b'kol dafu daf yisakein shalosh yignos. Number one, he said that if a sefer Torah has in a single column two mistakes, so you should fix the two mistakes. But if it has three mistakes in every column, then don't fix them anymore. Just put the Sefer Torah in Geniza, cut your losses, write a new Sefer Torah that's kosher. V'tana Tiyufta, and the Tiyufta is Sholosh Yisakein Arba Yignos. We have a Braisa that says that no, that if there are three mistakes in each column, you should fix it. Only if there are four mistakes in each column, then you should put in Geniza. So Tanim Yesh Budaf Achashlema Matzelos Al Kulo. But if you have a single daf that's shalim, then it saves the entire Sefer Torah. Just having one daf that's shalim saves the entire Sefer Torah. Now the Gemara is going to say very soon that the psul of having all the mistakes in the column is a psul menumar. That when you fix it, it's going to look blotchy because you have three or four fixes in every column. So the Kappas Tamarim and Sukkah asks, why is it that when it comes to an esrog, the definition of an esrog menumar is three spots? That if there are three spots on the esrog, then it's considered menumar. Yet when it comes to Sefer Torah, it's four spots, the way we're saying that. When it's four spots, you have to be gones rather than fix. It's going to be a psul of menumar. So the Kappas Tamarim says that maybe the esrog, since it's smaller, it's shiro's kibetza, so you can have menumar with fewer spots. Whereas Sefer Torah is very large, usually. Sefer Torah is very big, so to have it's bigger than an esrog, so menumar is only going to be with more spots. There's a Gemara in Gittin on Daf Mendalim Beis that says that if you write Sefer Torah and the Askara Shabbat were written Shalol Shema, meaning you wrote a Sefer Torah perfectly fine, but the Shemos Hashem that you wrote in the Sefer Torah were not Lashma. So you're not allowed to write over the Shemos Hashem with more ink to be Mekadish them, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Ksav al Gabi Ksav is kosher, is considered to be a Ksav, that if you write on top of already written words, that's considered to be a Ksav, still it's going to be possible to write over the Shemos Hashem, says the Gemara in Gittin, because it's going to be a Psul Menumar. It's going to look blotchy, though all the Shemos Hashem are going to be much darker than the rest of the Sefer Torah. So fret the Ksam Sofer, wait a second, why is it Psul Mitam Menumar? In the whole Sefer Torah, there are certain columns that don't have the Shem Hashem in it. So as long as you have a single column that doesn't have Shem Hashem, we're saying in our Gemara, it's Matzil on the Sefer Kulo, it's Matzil on the entire Sefer. So why should it be a Psul Mishem Menumar? You should say that the Dapim that don't have Shem Hashem, that never became Menumar, should be Matzil on the entire Sefer Torah. So the Chassam Sofer quotes in the shame of Lamdan Echad, in the name of a Lamdan Echad, a very sharp answer. He says, no, we're only making over here that a Daf Acha should be Matzil on the whole Sefer Torah in order to save the Shemos from Geniza, in order to save all the good Shemos that are written in the Sefer Torah from Geniza. But the Gemara in Gittin is talking about where all the Shemos were messed up. So there's no sense in using the Daf Echad that was written in Kogan to save what? All the Shemos were written incorrectly. So that you might as well cut your losses and put it in Geniza. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta B'Shmei D'Rav. V'hu D'Ksiv Rubei D'Sefer Shapir. That's if most of the Sefer is written correctly. Shidum Gvetzes writes that means that Rov of each Daf is written correctly, that there aren't, what he says, eight or six mistakes, depending on what years you have, either six, eight mistakes in a given daf. But the Beis Yosef says, no, rov means rov. Where do you get the number six, eight? No, rov means rov of the letters of the daf are written correctly, even if there are 50 mistakes in the daf, but rov of them are written correctly. And that's what the Kesef Mishnah also says is the shita of the Rambam. Amalei Abai L'Rav Yosef, I ispa hu daf shalosh shiyos mai. What if there are three mistakes in the daf? Amalei, so since it could be fixed, so you fix it. But that's only chaseros, if there are letters missing. Baba. When it comes to extra letters, then we wouldn't say that you would be go to them. You would just scratch them out, and it would be no problem. It wouldn't appear menumar. Chaseros my time alone. Amar Rav Kahana mishum demechzik menumar. What's the problem with chaseros? Chaseros look like it's spotted because when it's chaseros, you're gonna have to add something in, squeeze something in somewhere, so then it's gonna look ugly. But yaseros, you just cut it out. It's no problem. You just scrape it right out, and it doesn't look it doesn't look like it's menumar. The Ginas Varadim writes in the Tshuva that according to this, maybe the whole psul of the Sefer Torah the whole psul of menumer is only by Sefer Torah, because by Sefer Torah, menumer is a problem in physical appearance and how it looks. So menumer is only going to be a problem when the ksav is exposed. In the Sefer Torah, the ksav is exposed. In a tefillin, mezuzah, the ksav is not exposed. So maybe menumer is not a psul in the os itself. It's not a psul in the ksav itself. It's just that it looks bad. Maybe the problems of looking bad are only a problem when it's exposed, not when it's not exposed. That tshuva, the Gittus Vrad, must be based on the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is the sheet, according to Tosfos, I think in Masech Shabbos, where Rabbeinu Tam says that the idea of having a hidur mitzvah of writing with a ksav na'a, with a beautiful ksav, only applies, the kiyum of writing with a beautiful ksav only applies in a Sefer Torah. It doesn't apply in tefillin, because tefillin is closed up anyway. So just like anything that reflects physical beauty, any additional maila of beauty Rabbeinu Tam holds is not going to be shaykh by tefillin, because by tefillin you don't see it anyway. So to any chisaron in beauty, says the Ginas Varadim, is not going to be shaykh by tefillin, because the chisaron in beauty is not recognized by anybody, because it's totally closed up. Says Gemara Vayter, Igra Chamua de Rabbi Abba Havala Yiseros Besifrei. Igra, the father-in-law of Rabbi Abba, had Yiseros, had extra letters in his sefer. Also came to Rabbi Abba, so he went to Rabbi Abba. Amalei lo amran el bechaseros al Yiseros laslan ba. He had Yiseros in his sefer, so his son-in-law Rabbi Abba told him, don't worry, chaseros is the problem. Yiseros is no problem. You could always take care of the Yiseros. So says Tosus, Yiseros laslan ba. Says Tosus, a lot of people read this Gemara incorrectly and they make a major mistake. Yesh tom kishemusupakin b'teva im malaya im chasera sha'osnos ha-malaya mishum diseros laslamba. He says there are some people that when they don't know how to spell a letter in the Torah, whether it's malay or whether it's chaser, whether it should be spelled with the yod, with the hay, with the vav, right? Aaron should be with the vav, without it. So what they always do is they'll always write it malay, because the Gemara says yiseros laslamba. We got no problems with yiseros. He says, but what a horrible mistake that is. They have to read the Gemara in context. You can't just take that line, Yiseros Leslanba, and take it out of context. V'lav milsi, da'acha ma'iri b'yiseros shegiran, d'lam rinu k'mechzi k'menumar. Over here we're talking about Yiseros that you scraped out, the Yiseros, because they were extra, so you got rid of them. And we say it's not a problem of mechzi k'menumar when you scratch it out of the Torah, but to write Yiseros, absolutely possible. You can't go and misspell the letters on purpose. So the truth is, we're not always experts, but some of the things we do have a mesora, and we have to follow the mesora of how to spell the letters rather than just always err on the side of writing yiseros. So that was one statement of Rav, right? We introduced this by saying that there were two statements of Rav, both of which there was a tiyufta on. So the first one was about how many mistakes in each column of the Sefer Torah. Idach, what's the other statement of Rav? Damar Rav, akosif Sefer Torah, bo ligmar, gomer vafilu b'emtza daf. Person is writing a Sefer Torah and he wants to finish writing the Torah, he can be gomer, he can finish the writing even in the middle of the daf. He doesn't have to get to the end of the column. Meisvei, akosif Sefer Torah, bo lo ligmar, lo yigmar b'emtza daf, kederach shegomer b'chumashin, el mekatsu b'halich atzof daf. But wait a second, didn't we have a brisa that tells us that you're not supposed to end in the middle of the daf? You're supposed to just make the lines shorter as you go. Be mekatzar v'holich until you get to the end of the column. If you look at Rashi, mekatzar shitin v'holich at sheyigmar le'eni kol yisol b'sof daf kazeh. Look at the diagram. Starts with long lines on the top and it just goes down like an upside down pyramid. And that's what you should do in order to make sure that you're gomer at the end of the daf. So you're not supposed to end in the middle of the daf. Apparently you adjust the whole way you write in order to not end in the middle of the daf. So ki kamarav b'chumashin. No, maybe what Rav was talking about was with chumashin. That he was talking about when you write chumashin, when you're not writing a Sefer Torah, you're just writing stam, chumash bereishis, so you're allowed to finish in the middle of the daf. Or a chumash devarim, you could finish in the middle of the daf. So frekling marav Sefer Torah kamar. It's hard to say, because it says Sefer Torah. So how can you say that Rav meant chumashin? Rav's statement started with the words, hakosef Sefer Torah. So how do you say that means chumashin? So b'chumashin shall Sefer Torah. No, what it means is, when you finish Sefer devarim enochinami, that you have to finish Le'ene Kol Yisrael at the end. But Ve'yisim Barum B'mitzrayim, or B'chol Maseim, or B'har Sinai, or V'yardin Yericho, the other four last psukim, the other four svarim, that could be in the middle of the daf, Rashi points out. That could be in the middle of the daf, meaning when you're writing a Sefer Torah, the ends of the first four chumashim could be in the middle of a column. But the end of the last chumash of Sefer Torah, Dvarim has to be at Dafka at the end of the column. That's what we're suggesting. So that's what Rav is suggesting. Says Gemara Eini Vahamar Rabbi Yeshua Baraba Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav LaEinei Kol Yisrael BeEmtza Daf. But didn't Rav say even LaEinei Kol Yisrael, which is the end of Sefer Dvarim, has got to be BeEmtza Daf? He bent to Shita Itmer. No, that not in the middle of a column, in the middle of a line. Rabbanan Amri Af Be'em Tashita. The Rabbanan say that it means even Be'em Tashita, meaning that it could be both Be'em Tashita and Be'em Tzadaf. You could finish writing the Torah in the middle of a line, and that line could be in the middle of the column. Ravashi Amr Be'em Tashita Dafka. No, Ravashi says, no, he only means that you could do it Be'em Tashita, but not Be'em Tzadaf. It should be the last line of the column, but you could finish in the middle of the line. You don't need to elongate Le'nei Kol Yisrael in order to make it finish at the end of the line. V'hilchsa be'em tashita dafka. We paskin that a dafka means be'em tashita, you could finish in the middle of a line, but you cannot finish be'em tzadaf. You cannot finish in the middle of a column. You got to get down to the bottom of the column one way or another. Now, a lot of this Gemara, a lot of this Amud is about how to write Sifrei Torah in a way that makes it line up appropriately, line up properly. Nowadays, we don't really have this problem anymore, because I think in something like 25, 30 years ago, all the sofim in the world got together and they decided they're all going to write the Sefer Torah exactly the same. They're going to arrange it where the words go on each line, what word begins the line, what word ends the line, exactly the same. They didn't always used to be like that. You still have old Sefer Torah that don't line up that way, but in the last 25 years, if I'm not mistaken, I was told, the mezuzah doctor told me that they all write exactly the same, and the tikkuns that they print always line up. It was always used to be I remember by my bar mitzvah, used to be you were always nervous whether the tikkun you were practicing, whether it was going to match the Sefer Torah that you read from. So apparently, with all the newer Sefer Torah, nothing to be nervous about. All the tikkunim line up exactly with the Sefer Torah. Good. Amar Rav Yeshua Bar Abba, Amar Rav Gidol Amrav, one of the more famous Gemaras in Shas. This Gemara appears in Maseches Babasha as well, where he says, Shmona Pesukim Sheba Torah, Yachid Kori Osan Bebeis HaKnesses, that the last eight Pesukim of the Torah, a Yachid can read them in the Beis HaKnesses. What does Yachid Kori Osan mean? So a lot of different suggestions. Rashi says, Adam Echad Koran Ve'ein Mafsik Bein Atayim Kdei Lamud Acher Velikros, meaning you can't break up an aliyah in the middle of the last eight Pesukim. One person's got to read all of them straight. That's Yachid Kori Osan. Says Tosfos, HaRabbeinu Meshulamim Farish Lamutei Shloik Rashatz Imo, that only one person should read. You shouldn't have a Balkore and the Ola reading together. Only one person should read it. The guy who gets the aliyah should read it, and that's it. There should not be a special Balkore for the last eight Pesukim of the Torah. Fractosos, that's a nice pshat if you view the world from nowadays perspective, but that's not always that's not the way they always read. V'kashal Rebbeinu Tam di bimei Chacham lo yirugil sheyseyalei shliach zibor lekari b'Tora kinnimuch parakshen de Megillah. They didn't used to have a guy who would be a balkore who would read for you. You'd get the aliyah, you'd always read it yourself. So what's the chiddush of the last day pesukim according to Rebbeinu Meshulam? There are many different pshat. You know, the difficulties with Rashi, in Hagioni Alacha Chelk Beis, he has a piece on this. So he points out the difficulties with Rashi is that the Gemara should have said Echad Koriyasan. What's Yachid? It also should have said Ein Mafsikin Berkriyasan, like it says by the Klalos in Megillah Daf Lamed Alfan Beis. And also, why is this related to how they were written? The fact that Yachid Koriyasan, they can't split it into two Aliyos, how does that relate to the unique writing of the last eight Pesukim, which the Gemara is about to get into? The Gemara is about to associate this Shita with the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, which we'll see in a second. So Tosos in Babasra and over here in Menachos says no, only the Ola reads it. The Barbanel says based on this we can understand the connection to the way it was written. Since Moshe didn't repeat it, which we're going to soon see in the Gemara, we also have only one voice say it, because since it was unique in the way that it was written, that Moshe wasn't Choser, he just said it once, so we also have only one voice that says it. But again, Tosos points out that it doesn't match in terms of historically the way Torahs were read from, the way Kriyas HaTorah was done. The Rashash in Megillah Daf Chaf Alef Beis says it means that it can't be read multiple times, unlike a normal Kriyas HaTorah, which can be done multiple times. Mishum Brura, based on the Raman, Sim Tafresh Samach Tes, and it's really based on the Mordechai, says that no, Yachid Koriyasan means the Meyuchat Shebekahal, the greatest person in the Shul should get that Aliyah, meaning that's the Chasan Torah. It should be given to someone unique. The Chacham Tzvi in the Tshuva Simon Yud Gimel says, well, wait a second, second. We're about to say that these last eight psukim were written on somewhat of a lower level than the rest of the Torah. So why would you give these last eight psukim to the greatest person in the tzibur? Shouldn't you, like, you give him Aseres Hadibros, you give him the most coveted aliyos? Why would you give him last eight psukim if we're about to say that they're a little bit lower? So the answer is pasha. The answer is you dafka want to show this is also part of Torah. So you want to show it that extra kavod, lest people start to think that it's not as valuable. The Rambam has the most unique shita. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah Perikut Gimel Halacha Vav writes that Yachid Kariyasan means you don't need a minion to read the last eight psukim. Normally you need a minion for Kriyas Torah. You don't need a minion for these last eight psukim. The Ravid says, what's he talking about? Had Tzibur Heichan Halchu? Where did the Tzibur go? So what the Ravid probably means by that is you were reading the Torah before. How is anyone allowed to leave in the first place? What are you talking about? You don't need a minion. Right? You're reading these last eight psukim without reading the other psukim. They were there earlier. How did they all leave? So there's a lot of Torah said in terms of explaining the Shita Sarambam, but again, we don't have time for it now. We really do finish at 7 today, though, right?
Yes,
that's
yeah.
Okay. So Kiman Delok Rabbi Shimon. So this is going against Rabbi Shimon. I mean, this idea that Yachid Kariyasan is not like Rabbi Shimon. Titania, Vayom Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem. Pasuk says, Vayom Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem. That's eight psukim before the end of the Torah. Moshe dies. Efter Moshe Chai, because of Vayom Hashem Moshe. Could it be that Moshe's dead is alive rather to Gersos, either Efshar Moshe Chai or Efshar Moshe Mace, either way it doesn't make sense. Can it be that Moshe is alive and he's writing Vayam Hashem Moshe? That would be a lie. Or the Gemara is saying, is it possible that Moshe is dead and he's writing Vayam Hashem Moshe? That would be pretty incredible. Dead people can't write. So whatever it is, whether he's alive or he's dead, it's very strange. Ela Adkan Kasav Moshe Mikan Ve'el Kasav Yoshua Ben Nun Divrei Yudas. Rabbi Yudas says, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah up until that point. The last eight Pesukim Yoshua Ben Nun wrote. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write the last eight Pesukim. Rabbi Nechemia, and some say Rabbi Nechemia held that way. So Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nechemia, Efshar Sefer Torah Chasaros Achas, what? Sefer Torah is going to be missing a letter, meaning those last eight psukim are not really part of the original Torah that Moshe wrote? Uksiv, Lakuach HaSefer HaTorah Hazeh, V'samtem also, take Sefer HaTorah Hazeh in its entirety. So, Ela Ad Kadosh Baruch Hu Omer, U'Moshe Kosev Omer. Now, what you have to say is, Rabbi Shimon holds, that up until that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say it, Moshe would write it and say it while he was writing it. Mikan, and that's the minhag sofrim do when they write a Sefer Torah, they actually say the words as they're writing it. Mikan ve'elach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer u'Moshe Kosev Bedema. But those last eight psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say it, Moshe would say it Bedema. Now what does the word Bedema mean? So that's also a very interesting discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim. Rashi over here, Menachos, says that Moshe Rabbeinu was kosev bedema. Rashi says Veloya Omer Achrov Mirov Tzaro. He was so sad. Dema'os mean tears. So he was so sad. He was so upset that his life was coming to an end. I guess that he wouldn't repeat the words. He just wrote it without repeating the words. Similar to Yirmiyahu with Divrei Kina, that he wouldn't say it out loud. The difficulty is that it doesn't solve the problem of the lie inherent in writing it. Meaning the problem was, how could he write it Vayam Hashem Moshe if he was still alive? It's a lie to say Vayam Hashem Moshe. So the fact that he didn't say it just says, okay, good. So he didn't say a lie, but writing a lie is also not good. You're not allowed to write something that's not true. So that's the difficulty with Rashi. The Marshon, the Chidush HaGadol and Mabasa says that the writing was not with ink and it was not repeated. Meaning Rashi's correct that he didn't say it, so he didn't say a lie. He also didn't write it in ink. He wrote it in tears. And since he wrote it in tears, it doesn't have a din of ksav, so it's not considered that he was kosev something that was not true. The Vilna Gaon is perhaps the most famous pshat where he says bedema means in a mixed up way, that the Torah has a simple meaning and then the letters are significant in a mystical way, and even if they're mixed around in another form. So he never actually wrote the words Vayam Hashem Moshe. He wrote all the letters that make up the words Vayam Hashem Moshe, and then Yeshua came afterwards and fixed it up and put it in the right order the way that we have it. But it had meaning on some Kabbalistic level the way Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it as well. Okay, the Briska Rav has an approach in Menachos over here. Okay, but we've got to get moving over here. So anyway, so Moshe was kosev bedema. K'mashnam l'alan v'yom l'am baruch mipiv yikra elai is kol advar meila v'ani kosev al sefer b'diyo. So lema delok Rabbi Shimon, so we say that's against Rabbi Shimon. So it says Gemara, nah, filu tem Rabbi Shimon, hal v'shtani ishtani. No, you could even say, meaning shouldn't we say that it's against Rabbi Shimon because it says Rabbi Shimon how the Moshe wrote it. So if Moshe wrote it like all the other psukim, then why should we say Yachid Koryosan? So says the Gemara, no, even according to Rabbi Shimon, you could have a Yachid Kari Yosan, because even Rabbi Shimon agrees that yes, Moshe wrote it, but he wrote it somewhat differently. So once it's different, we treat it differently. So once you have the idea that Moshe wrote it differently, we can say Yachid Kari Yosan, we're going to treat the words differently. If a person buys a Sefer Torah from the Shuk, it's as if he's grabbing a mitzvah from the Shuk. Says Rashi, look, he still did a mitzvah when you buy a Sefer Torah from the Shuk, but it's not the ideal mitzvah. If you write a Sefer Torah, that's the real ideal mitzvah. You buy it, that's not as good. The Ramah in Yerideya disagrees. The Ramah in Yerideya, Simin Ayin Reish, they spell it Ayin Reish because Reish Ayin is Ra, Sif Aleph writes that you're not Yotzi the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah at all when you buy a Sefer Torah in the Shuk. So Beis Halevi proves that the Rambam sheet is that way also, because the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is not to have a Sefer Torah, it's to write a Sefer Torah. The raya that the mitzvah is not to have a Sefer Torah but to write a Sefer Torah is the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Alef and Beis, where the Gemara says Meis Aviv Yiniach Lo Sefer Torah. If a father dies and you yarshin the Sefer Torah, family heirloom, you yarshin the Sefer Torah, you still have to write a Sefer Torah, because the mitzvah is to write a Sefer Torah, not to own a Sefer Torah. So Rav Salvechik pointed out, maybe you could be Michalik, you could still defend Rashi. There's a difference between yarshining and buying. Yarshining, you didn't do anything. That happens bal karcho, that happens automatically. But maybe it's still a mitzvah to go out and buy a Sefer Torah. It's just the best mitzvah, mitzvah in a muvchar. It's not just buy it, but to write it. Kasvu, malalav kasvu ki l'kibla me'ar Sinai. If you actually write a Sefer Torah, then the Torah considers it as if you're mekabel the Torah me'ar Sinai. Amrav sheshes, amigia afilu osachas malalav kasvu ki l'kasvu. If you even just correct one letter, if you write one letter in the Torah, then it's as if you wrote an entire Sefer Torah. That's where our minute comes from, that when we finish off a Sefer Torah, we give everyone the opportunity to write one letter. It's based on this idea that it's ma'ala lava kasav kilu kasav. Not literally halachically, you probably still have a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, but that there is some ma'ala in going and writing a single letter in the Sefer Torah. Tanu Rabbanan, also the Yuriya mi ba'shalosh da'apin v'ad ba'shmona da'apin. Each piece of parchment that makes up the Sefer Torah should have somewhere between 3 and 8 columns. Pachs mikam yesral ken lo yasa. Shouldn't be less than 3, shouldn't be more than 8. V'lo yarba b'da'apin nation ger. You shouldn't have more too many dapin, because then it looks like an igeres. You should minimize the number of actual dapin that you have. You shouldn't have too few dapin, meaning make the columns too wide. And again, we solved all these problems, but you shouldn't make the columns too wide, because then it's going to be hard for your eyes to go back to the beginning of the line. If the line goes very long, you're not going to know where the beginning of the next line is. You're going to mess up in the lines. So Gimel Pamim. Rather, the length of the line should be the length of the word L'mishpachosechem 3 times. L'mishpachosechem is the longest word in all of Torah. It's not the longest word in Tanakh. Hachashtar Panim, whatever, is the longest word. But L'mishpachosechem is the longest word in Torah. Rashi and the Torah make this sound like this is a din in Noi of Sefer Torah. It's a din in Zekeli Vanveu. And Muki Yosef says, no, you can't have more than 8 dapim because of a hagba issue. When you go to the Sefer Torah, you have to do the hagba on the seam. So if it's a very long thing, it's a chashash that you might come to rip it. Nizdam lo yuria bas teisha dapim lo yachlok sholosh lekan v'sheish lekan ela arba lekan v'chamish lekan. If you have a piece of parchment that can fit 9 dapim, that can fit 9 columns, so don't split 3 and 6, split it 4 and 5. Bamedvar mamur mitchilas ha-sefer. Av b'sofa sefer afilu pasuk echad v'afilu daf echad. When do we say that you shouldn't be mima'eit nor marbe bedapin? That's only at the beginning of the sefer. But at the end of the sefer, even if you have only one pasuk, one daf, to put on the last piece of parchment, you could add on one more piece of parchment for the last pasuk that you have to write, for the last daf that you have to write. So pasuk echad salkadad, really for one pasuk? So ela'ema pasuk echad bidaf echad. It means a pasuk echad on a daf echad, which Rashi explains means im rotzi yaseh daf katzer min teva achas b'shita achas kedei sheyigmar b'sof hadaf, that you can make a very narrow daf in order to finish at the bottom of the column. Not that the last column should be only one pasuk. It means that you could make it very narrow in order to finish at the end of the column, but you could add on an extra piece of cloth just for that last column. Shir gilyon milamata tefach milamala gimel etzbaos. You should leave a tefach of space on the bottom of the cloth and three etzbaos of space space on the top. Ubein daf l'daf k'meloi revach rochav shtei etzba'os. And between each daf, you have to have two etzba'os of width. Ubechumashin milamata shalosh etzba'os milamata shtei etzba'os. By chumashim, you should leave three etzba'os underneath, two etzba'os of space on top. Ubein daf l'daf k'meloi revach rochav godel. And between each daf, the width of a godel. Ubein shita l'shita k'meloi shita. And between each line, the space of a line. Ubein teva l'teva k'meloi os ketana. Between each letter, you should leave the amount of space for a small letter. Ubein os l'os k'meloi chatasara. And between each letter, you should. I'm sorry. Ubein teva l'teva between each word, you should have the space of a small letter. And ubein os l'os between each letter k'meloi chatasara. You should leave at least the chatasara. You should at least leave a little bit of space that the letters shouldn't touch each other. That's the whole point. That the letters shouldn't touch each other. The shach is medayik in the name of the Bach from the fact that Shulchan Aruch never says im lo haya bein teva l'teva k'meloi chatasara psula. It sounds like between the words, if there's less than k'meloi os ketan, it's still going to be kosher. So and the way to tell is by bringing a katan. It's lo chacham lo tipesh. Bring a katan to see if he views it as one word or two words. Even if it's less than os ketan, if the katan would see it as two words, says the shach, it would still be kosher. Al yimalik adam esksav lomnei revach shlamat v'lomnei revach shlamala. A person should not make his writing smaller in order to have the requisite amount of space on top or on bottom. V'lomnei revach shmei shito l'shito, or between the columns. V'lomnei revach shmei parsha l'parsha, or between the parshios. If you have a letter that's five letters long and you only have two spaces left in the column, don't write two letters of the word in the column and then three outside of the column. You should do the opposite. You should write three in the column. You can write three letters in the column and go outside of the column by two letters. Most of the Sefer Torah nowadays, again, we don't have these issues. They're finished exactly on the line. You do see every once in a while, see an older Sefer Torah where the guy was having trouble finishing exactly on the line, so he went a little bit outside of the line. I think with some of our older Sefer Torah, at least one of ours, we have like that in a couple of places. That if you have a teva that's a word that's two letters, so don't stick it between the columns. Just put it on the next line. Don't mean, even though we just said that if it's five letters, you can go two letters outside of the daf. Yeah, but if the whole word is the word S, don't write the whole word outside of the daf. Just write it at the beginning of the next line. Hatoa b'shem. If a person makes a mistake in writing the Shem Hashem, so Gorer is Masha Kasa V'Tola is Masha Garar, the Kosef is Shem Al Makom Agrar Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So it's several different opinions. Rabbi Yehuda Shita is this: is what you do, whatever you wrote where the Shem Hashem belongs, meaning the word that probably comes after the Shem Hashem, erase that, scratch that one out, put that letter in between the lines, meaning Tola it, hang it like with the, you know, the way we make the little carrot to put the, so you don't actually make a carrot, but hang it up in between the lines, and then write the Shem Hashem in the place of the word that was originally there, because the Shem Hashem shouldn't be the word that's stuck on the outside looking in. The Shem Hashem should be in the line itself. It seems from our sugya that you're allowed to do this. This idea of putting a letter in between the lines to be tola a letter is okay. It's just the Shem Hashem that we have a debate about whether you're allowed to do it or not. But the Yerushalmi says that by tefillin and mezuzah you're not allowed to be tola any words whatsoever. So what's the chiluk? Why is it by Sefer Torah? It's clear in our Gemara you're allowed to be tola words. It's a question whether you're allowed to be tola the Shem Hashem, but words you're for sure allowed to be tola. So why is it by tefillin and mezuzah it's asur l'tlos? Adrabba, we said before that you would think that by tefillin and mezuzah there's more room to be makel with these kinds of things, with these stylistic beauty type of issues, because it's not visible. Sefer Torah is visible. So the Ran writes in the Tshuva that the chiluk is as follows: that Sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzah, the difference between Sefer Torah versus Tefillin and Mezuzah is that by Tefillin and Mezuzah the writing is very tiny, and therefore if you try to stick it between the lines, you're not going to really fit it between the lines. It's going to end up touching all the letters on both sides, and it's not going to be good because the writing is so small. The Ran also quotes though, in the name of the Sefer Trumos, that when you write Tefillin and Mezuzah, there's an additional psul in Tefillin Mezuzah called Shaloka Sidron. If something is written out of order, that a word that's written Bein Hashitin, that's written between the columns, the derech, the normal way is you read the entire column and then afterwards you read that which is written Bein Hashitin to see what you missed. So that might be a psul of Shaloka Sidron, Dafka in Tefillin Mezuzah, but it's not a psul of Shaloka Sidron in a Sefer Torah. Okay, Vaiter says Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af Tol Nes Hashem. You could even be told of the Shem Hashem. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Af Mochik V'Kosev. You could even erase and rewrite. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Yomer, Kol Hashem Kulo Tolu Miksaso Ein Tolin. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says you could be Tolu the entire Shem Hashem, you just can't be Tolu parts of the Shem Hashem. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Ramer, Ein Kol Sinas Hashem Lo Malkom Agrar, Lo Malkom Mechak Vein Tolin Also. He says no, Shem Hashem has to be perfect. You can't write it on a place where you scratched out a letter. You can't write it on a place where you erased something. No, and you can't hang it anywhere. Ketzad Also. So what do you do if you have if you accidentally missed the Shem Hashem? So Masalik Asiyiria Kulo Vagonza. You take out that entire parchment, you put it in Geniza, and write a whole new piece of parchment that you can connect to this Sefer Torah. That's what you got to do. Itmar Rav Chanan. So those are all the shitos. Itmar Rav Chanan Lomarav Halacha Tolim Nas Hashem. Rav Chanan Lomarav says you could be told of the shame. Rabbi Abrachan. Now we're getting into Amoraim. How they paskin. Rabbi Abrachan and Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Halacha Mochik Mikosev. The halacha is you erase it and you write over. Aye, but you're just saying shitos of Tanaim. So Vilema Mar Halacha Kamar Mar Halacha Kamar. Why don't you just attribute your shitos to the Tanaim instead of just saying what the halacha is? Say, I hold halacha like this Tanai. We have Tanaim that represent all of the shitos already. So Mishum Da'afkilu. No, because there were various mesoras of which Tanaim said what. So since we don't know which Tanaim exactly said what, so they just tell you what they hold halacha lemaisa, what to do. Amar Rav Barchina, Amar Ula, Amar Rav Chanina. Halach Rav Shim Shazuri. The halach is like Rav Shim Shazuri, that the kala shem kulo you could be tola, but mitzasa you cannot be tola. V'lo od. But he said not only that. Al kolmakam shashan Rav Shim Shazuri halach kamoso. Anytime Rav Shim Shazuri speaks, he doesn't come up all that often, but whenever Rav Shim Shazuri speaks, the halach follows Rav Shim Shazuri. So aheya. The Gemara wants to know where was the original statement that whenever Rav Shim Shazuri speaks, Rav Chanina's original statement that whenever Rav Shim Shazuri speaks, we always passing like him. Where did he make that statement originally? The Gemara is going to have on this Amud 6 possibilities. Hopefully we'll get through 5 of them today. If you want to say it's going on the following Rav Shim Shazuri Yomer Kol Hashem Kulo Tolin Miktsaso Ein Tolin, that it's our context. That's where he originally said it. But all the Amoraim spoke up and they said what they paskin. But if he said, if the original context of the statement that the Halach is always like Rav Shim Shazuri appeared here, so why didn't he say it along with that Itmar? Why wasn't that included in the Memra of Amoraim? So Ela Aha, second possibility. What's the original context? Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer, Afilu Ben Chamish Shanim V'Chorish Besada Shchita Simu Mitaharaso. There's a halach called Ben Pakua, that if you shecht a pregnant animal, let's say a pregnant cow, the baby inside does not require Shchita. So the Tana says, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says, even if the baby is now 5 years old and he's plowing in the field, so it's living a very viable life, still does not require shechita. So maybe that's the comment where we said that Allah is like Rav Shimon Shazuri always. No, because there is an Amorah statement on that also, and if that was the original context, it should have been said over there explicitly in that Memra. El, the third possibility, if a person is going out to be killed and he says, write a get for my wife, so you can write it and give it to her. Then they said, even if a person's going on a long trip, you can give it to her just based on those instructions. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Yomer Afam Sukan, even someone who's in some dangerous situation, you can write a get for his wife based on that. So that's the context. Inami, or maybe this fourth context was the original context. Aha, Trumas Meiser Shel Demai Shechazul Mekoma. Let's say you had Demai, and because you have Demai, you have to separate not Truma Gadol, but you have to separate Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, and Trumas Meiser from the Meiser Rishon, and then the Trumas Meiser falls right back into the original mixture. So Rav Shimon Shazuri Yomer Af Bechol Sholav Al Piv. Rav Shimon Shazuri says even when it's not Shabbos, even when it's a weekday, and you're allowed to be Mafrit Trumas Meisros, you're allowed to rely for Trumas Meisros Shel Demai. You're allowed to rely on asking the Amah Aretz whether he in fact separated Trumas and Maestros, and if he said that he did, so you can rely on that. But we also had an Amoraic statement about these last two possibilities, 3 and 4, and we didn't include in the Memra this idea that the Halacha is always like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, so it sounds like this is not the original context where we say the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. So far, 4 failed attempts at trying to find where the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, and we're going to have a 5th failed. I don't know how many we go on to, because the 6th one goes way into tomorrow's daf. But at least 5 failed attempts for today. So Ella Aha, rather maybe the original statement of Rabbi Shimon Shazuri is the following: Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Pul Amitzri Shazaru Lazera Miktsaso Hishrish Lefnei Rosh Hashanah Umiktsaso Achar Rosh Hashanah. If you plant a certain type of bean, a Pul Amitzri, that you plant to use it for vegetables. So mutsaso, you plant it as a food. So and part of it takes root before Rosh Hashanah. Part of it takes root after Rosh Hashanah. Ain tarmin mizeh al zeh. Not let it take truma from one on the other. Lefisha ain tarmin ma'asu lo min achadash al yashim lo min achadash al achadash. You can't take truma some ma'asos from the old on the new and the new on the old. And it's considered new and old if it was before Rosh Hashanah and after Rosh Hashanah. If some took root before, some took root after. So Kate said, Yasa, what should you do? Sober garnel letocho, v'nim tzatari ma'asim in achadash shabal achadash shabal, v'min yashin shabal al yashin shabal. You should pile up, you should mix them all really well. So you mix them all together really well, and then you take out shumas and ma'asos mistami, you're going to be taking out some of the old, some of the new, and it's going to be fine. So maybe that's the original statement of Shumash Shazuri that we're talking about. But we have a Meimra of Amoraim on that as well, that the halacha is Krabi Shumash Shazuri. V'misohu nami lema. But if that's the original context of Rabbi Chanina's statement that we always pass Krabi Shumash Shazuri, why doesn't he pop up in that Meimra either? So five possibilities of what the original context of halacha is always following Krabi Shumash Shazuri is, and we reject all five. Mitzvah tomorrow, we'll start with these six.